fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95 BFM.
Morning, Amelia. Kate Pihia Quay, how you going?
You know how it is.
I do.
I do. I spent all of yesterday dyeing a pair of shoes black.
Oh, cool.
How did it go?
I mean, have a look.
Ooh.
What they're black, folks.
They're black shoes.
Yeah, they were before. They were a tan.
Oh, yeah, I can't do a tan shoe.
No, I can't do a tan shoe.
I haven't got the complexion for it.
But I got a whole pile of stuff from the Coromandel dump shop for $5, including the boots.
Wicked.
Yeah, and nice. A couple of 7-inch singles about the Gold Coast. We love the Gold Coast.
We do. Are we talking the dump shop or are we talking the Seagull Centre here?
We're talking the Coromandel dump shop. People keep saying, oh, you mean the Seagull Centre? That's the Thames dump shop.
Okay.
This is the Coromandel dump shop.
Ah. Sorry, I do stand corrected there. Love the Seagull Centre.
Anyway, we're going right back to the beginning.
Of time?
Of words?
The beginning of beginnings.
Yeah.
And today we're talking about... Okay, set the scene here. All right. Okay. Can someone make a crackling noise like a campfire? It was a dark and stormy night.
What is that noise?
And that's
my fire.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of crabs here listening to this story. we're talking about it was a dark and stormy night.
Oh, true. Okay. Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? It's kind of like known as the ultimate cliche of openings.
Mm.
And you'll hear it more often now as a joke than anything else.
On a dark and stormy night.
On a dark and stormy night. If you're the same kind of dweeb and elderly person that I am, I immediately think of the episode of the Mighty Boosh where they go
nice.
With old Greg, where they sit, the folk people sing the song about it was a dark night and the moon was full.
Yes.
But this phrase was actually popularized by this totally bananas guy.
Oh, okay.
So there's this dude called Edward Bulwer Lytton.
Wow, cool name.
And in his day...
Which was when?
Well, the book that it comes from is from 1830. So okay. That was kind of the peak of his day. He was as widely read as Dickens.
Whoa,
People were big into Bulwer Lytton, although some people weren't. what's his name? Thackeray, who wrote Vanity Fair, was oh, it's trash. It's horrible stuff.
Oh, Thackeray.
But yeah, he opens up his 1830 novel, Paul Clifford. It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind, which swept up the streets. For it is in London that our scene lies, rattling along housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flame of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. And that's the opening sentence.
Wow!
And this book was huge. This book was massive. Everyone was like, oh, I love the double life of this man, Paul Clifford, who's a highwayman, but also a country gentleman.
I was going to say, Paul Clifford's got a bit of a vibe about it. Like, you might find that in a sort of like B-grade movie section, the Ballad of Paul Clifford or something.
Yeah.
Bulwer Lytton seems to have had a talent for crafting memorable phrases. He also came up with the pen is mightier than the sword.
No way!
That's him. And also the great unwashed.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And people claim that he invented the almighty dollar. However, he didn't. but this dude is totally bananas.
I can't believe we don't know him, you know?
Well,
I can't even remember what his name is now. Bulwer Lytton?
It's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult to say.
How's it spelled?
But
no, don't worry about that.
Yeah, you can write. You can read that in the podcast notes. basically, he's this very strange kind of nasty man.
Ooh.
So he actually ended up. One of the things that he is noted for in his life is influencing law reform to stop men from being able to commit their wives to sanatoriums because he was running for a political seat and he was annoyed at his wife. So he sent her to an insane asylum for like a few years.
Oh my God.
To get her out of the way of his political campaign.
Wow, he sucked.
Yeah. And people were so mad about this that they were like, oh, we got to change this law.
I generally think that people around that time were a bit stink to women, and I think that probably holds true. But I'm glad to hear that even then people were a bit outraged that he was like, I'll just pop her in an asylum for a while.
Yeah, it's like, you can't do that.
No, man, no.
Yeah, I think, oh, we can't talk about relative morality of time periods. Anyway, so this sentence has been called many times the worst opening sentence of anything.
Oh, harsh.
And the reason that we kind of think about it today, I'm sure some listeners are like, I don't even think about it, but some people do.
Snoopy thought about it a lot. Someone says every Snoopy novel began with a dark and stormy night.
Charles Schulz was important in popularizing it in the 60s as like a comedy thing. And so, yeah, people who were writing in the 60s, it would have been a part of their whole life. Like, it would have already been 100 years old probably when they were born.
Cool, okay.
And so also the novel A Wrinkle in Time begins with that in a kind of an ironic usage.
Nice.
Yeah, so it had gone as being this like kind of swashbuckling, adventurous, like realistic thing to being this like comedy stupid thing. And in the 80s, there was a competition started called the Bulwer Lytton Fiction Contest, where people were tasked with coming up with the worst opening sentence.
Oh, I love that.
So I've got one of my favourites here.
Yes,
this
please.
Is the winner from 1986. This competition is still going. enter next year. The bone-chilling scream split the warm summer night in two, the first half being before the scream, when it was fairly balmy and calm and pleasant for those who hadn't heard the scream at all, but not calm or balmy or even very nice for those who did hear the scream, discounting the little period of time during the actual scream itself, when your ears might have been hearing it, but your brain wasn't reacting yet to let you know.
What does it say about me that I love that, and I love the original one from the Paul book as well?
Well, I think partly these are crafted to be the worst sentences, and so there's something quite fun about them.
Yeah.
Like, here's another one. This was the winner from the adventure category. Buffy Goldsmith emptying the last three rounds from the smoking Parabellum 9mm at the pursuing KGB operatives. Reached into her Kevlar standard issue model PK-38D brassiere for the disc of winning lottery numbers with the intention of flinging it into the murky waters of the Seine, only to remember she had left it under Uncle Arthur's yarmulke at the kibbutz.
Ah, yes. I love a sentence that manages to set up the entire backstory of a book in one go.
But other people have called it one of the greatest opening lines of all time, and it is very memorable. It appeared on an American Book Review list of the 100 best first lines. Can you guess what was number one on that list?
Once Upon a Time?
What's that from?
Oh, yeah, true.
It's more of a convention than like a...
What was it?
Call Me Ishmael.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
And then we got Pride and Prejudice at number two.
Yeah, that's
Gravity's
good.
Rainbow at number three. Shout out to other losers out there. it's a good list. Weirdly, though, it's existed for longer than Bull... does have a difficult name to remember.
Rush, Little John.
Bulwer Lytton. Yeah, we have instances of it in like the 1600s.
Whoa.
Our life is but a dark and stormy night is from Edward Herbert's poem to his mistress for her true picture.
Oh, wow.
There's a 1790s gothic novel called A Sicilian Romance that says a very dark and stormy night in it. So Dark and Stormy Night is this kind of like a nice little attractive formation.
I like it a lot.
And then Bulwer Lytton is like, I'm going to base the whole, let's kick it off with a bang.
Let's just get straight into
let's
the Dark and Stormy Night. The bit you read us from Bulwer Lytton's piece reminded me so much of Bad Jelly the Witch that it made me think Spike Milligan must have been into this, which seems not unsurprising perhaps.
No, I think like the kind of ridiculous thickness of like Victorian literature was probably a big influence on blah 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 blah. yeah, but I mean, the story sounds kind of. I'm kind of tempted to read the story now. It sounds.
Maybe we should make it a serial. Rollicking. You come on every week and read us a little bit of Bulwer Lytton's great catalogue. You've picked us a Belle and Sebastian song to end on today. Why have you picked us this one, and what is it?
Oh, it just has a line about pen being mightier than the sword.
Yeah, we do love that. Good excuse to play it. Get me away from here, I'm dying. Thank you very much, Amelia Discreet.
What's your favourite opening line for a book? You can ponder that. That's to the listeners, Rachel, not you. You looked nervous.
You looked me dead in the eyeballs there. I was like, you're putting me on the spot. I already had a crack at Once Upon a Time, and that was rejected, so...
song to set me free. Nobody writes them like they used to, so it may as well be me. Here am I now after hours, here am I now on a bus. Think of it this way, you could either be successful or be us. With our winning smiles and our hands, with our catchy tunes or words. Now a photogenic, you know, we don't stand a chance. Oh, I'll settle down with some old story about a boy who's just like me. Thought there was love in everything and everyone, yes, so naive. Reach a sorry ending, they always get it in the end. Still it was worth it as I turned the pages solemnly. And then with a winning smile, the boy with naivety succeeds. At the final moment I cried, I always cry at endings. Just thought I'd let you know goodbye, said the hero in this story. It is mightier than swords. I could kill you, sure, but I could only make you cry with these words. Cry with these words. Cry with these words. Cry with these words. Dying, get me away, I'm dying, get me away, I'm dying, get me away, I'm dying, oh, I'm dying, oh, I'm dying, yeah, oh, I'm dying, yeah, oh, get me away, I'm dying, get me away, I'm dying, get me away.
We've got one more good fact about Bulwer Lytton. What's that good fact, Amelia?
Apparently his novel Pelham established the standard of men wearing black suits for evening wear. Also, one of his novels was the first of European fiction to be translated into Japanese. Dude had a wild life. Edgar Allan Poe hated him.
I love how he had famous friends and famous enemies, and we don't know anything about him anymore. That's where you get for being a misogynist and sticking your wife in an asylum.
Oh, I don't know. Some of them are pretty well regarded. Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.